Starting at verse 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And God, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until evening, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a long journey, or in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lances, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me, all the people. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, and as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. The children of Israel were at a crossroads. I ask this morning, where are we? Let's bow before the Lord in prayer.
I wanted to welcome you to the service this morning and thank you for your prayers on my behalf, and continue to thank you for prayers on behalf of Carol and I, and thought maybe I'd just share a quick, it's been a while since I actually said anything, and there's sometimes some confusion what's going on, but I am on dialysis and 3 days a week I go for that, and that's going pretty well. There's a few issues with that every now and then, but I guess the main issue right now is there is cancer in my kidney that they are trying to deal with. It's not in the rest of my body, it's just in the kidney. So it's a unique situation. But the chemo that I was on was deemed not to be, seemed to be working anymore, so they changed my chemo. And up to my steroids again. So there are some effects from that. So that's where it's at right now. That basically has to be set into remission before there can be any thought of a possible second transplant. So that's kind of where we're at and where our journey's at right now. We always appreciate your prayers. There's other people that have much greater needs than we do, so don't forget them. But thank you for how you show your love and concern. In the central Alberta town of Olds, Patricia McDonald looked at her phone bill in shocked disbelief. The total bill for the month, $68,728.72. And to top it off, McDonald hadn't even called anyone. She had been on vacation to British Columbia when she had lost her purse, and according to a local newspaper, she contacted the telephone company immediately and told them to cancel her calling card, but something went awry. The card was never canceled until she got her bill, a 129-page phone bill listed hundreds of calls, none of them of which she had made. Now, there's a saying that talk is cheap, but in this case, it was very expensive. And what about our talk with our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ? Is it significant? Or is it just cheap talk that has little meaning? What is our prayer life really like, and why do we even bother to pray? Does God really care about our prayers? Does it seem like God may not be paying attention? Does he seem slow in responding? Why doesn't he answer? Is he even going to respond? Or maybe is our praying simply another formality that we go through, another spiritual box that we chalk off or mark off each day? Well, now that's finished. Or is our praying something we go throughout the day out of a relationship with a loving Father, experiencing that the result of living under his love? You know, we don't want to be like the wicked who say, according to Job 21:15, what is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? They were questioning, what's the value of praying to God? But sometimes we may wonder these things, or these thoughts may come into our mind. And so today's sermon is entitled, in the form of a question, why do we pray? The intent is to simply see why we pray and encourage us to keep doing so, and to see that, yes, it is profit in praying. This sermon is not meant to be an exegesis on Scripture dealing with prayer, nor do we have to understand everything about prayer in order to have profitable prayer. In fact, someone has said, I quote, if we wait until we understand everything about prayer, we'll never pray. I think that's probably true. So our purpose this morning is to answer the question, why do we pray, in a simple and practical way that helps us see that our prayers are profitable, or that they can be profitable if we just live in the truth that Brother Ray brought out last Sunday morning, the truth that Christ abides in us as believers and who we are in Christ, and we can know God's love and his holiness can dominate us, and we have his resources available. And our prayer life can extend out from that. So first, in answering why do we pray, the first thing I would say, or number one, would be that we believe he's God. That's pretty simple, isn't it? My question is, if we're praying to him, why wouldn't we believe he's God? Obviously, the one we pray to, we believe is God. If we don't believe, then why would we pray to him? And since he's God, he has all the resources needed. He has all the power needed. He has all the strength to help us go on. He has all the help in the tough situations. He has all the knowledge in all the circumstances that we face. He has all the wisdom that we need. He has all the comfort. He has all the hope. He has all the forgiveness. He has all the grace and mercy because he's God. Billy Graham said, and I quote, "We are to pray in times of adversity, lest we become faithless and unbelieving. We are to pray in times of prosperity, lest we become boastful and proud. We are to pray in times of danger, lest we become fearful and doubting. We are to pray in times of security, lest we become self-sufficient," end quote. In other words, God has it all for all situations and circumstances. The Bible tells us to come boldly with our prayers to God's throne of grace. We are to come when there's a need. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly," or come with confidence, "onto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace," when? "To help in time of need." So we are to come with needs. He's the Almighty. He welcomes us into His presence. But what is it that we really want when we come into His presence? When we come with our prayers, what is it that we really want and desire? Someone has said that we pray to bring heaven to earth. In other words, we are praying to release God's power down upon us and upon our situation and upon others. Well, you know, there's value to that and there's truth to that, I believe, and that's true. Jesus even said that he could pray in that way in Matthew 26:53. He said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" In other words, he could have prayed and brought heaven to earth. Charles Spurgeon said, "True prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is a spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth," end quote. Still, there is an ultimate motive for all our prayers that we can find in Scripture. And I refer to John 14. I could have had that text read in the opening, where Jesus gives us some teaching there. And in John 14 and verse 13, listen to these words. "And whatsoever," Jesus speaking, he says, "and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." What are our prayers really to be trying to do? What should be their purpose? To bring glory to the Father. That was Elijah's purpose in 1 Kings 18 in the account. That's a familiar account to us. That was read, or partially read. I had Larry read part of it. When he prayed to bring heaven to earth, that was Elijah's purpose, was to bring glory to the Father. If you look at the verse, I'm going to reread a couple of those verses to outline that, or to highlight that. In verse 24, "And call you in the name of your gods," Elijah speaking, "and I will call in the name of the Lord, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God." Elijah's desire was to bring glory to God. "And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken." Notice then in verse 37 what happened after Elijah prepared the altar. And as Larry read that, "and they watered that thing three times over, just so there would be no doubt when God would answer." And look what happened in verse 37. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God." Again, that the Lord would be glorified, "and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." Glory was given. The purpose of Elijah's prayer was fulfilled. We pray because we believe God is God, and our motive behind each prayer needs to be to bring glory to Him. Someone has said, and I'm sure you have heard this quote probably, but it's a good one. It's relevant, and it's true. Prayer is not me asking God to do what I want. It is getting me in line with what He wants. I think that's pretty valuable. How often do I need that? Not what I want, but getting me in line with what He wants. Well, secondly, not only do we pray to God because He is God, we pray because we believe God hears. Why pray to someone or something that couldn't hear us? So in praying to God, we believe that He hears us, don't we? You know, the ears, our ears are an amazing organ. They can distinguish 1,500 musical tones. They can detect sounds from a few decibels to a volume of 140 decibels. The eardrum can pick up a whisper and yet can withstand the onslaught of sound waves powerful enough to vibrate one's body. And in a crowd where there's many noise, one's ears can concentrate and focus on one person. An amazing organ. But even greater is the hearing, the ears of our God. He hears multitudes of people crying out to Him at the same time and doesn't ignore a single one. He can focus on your prayer. All of us here, I don't know how many people are here this morning, but the total, we could be all praying at the same time, and God can focus on each individual prayer. He never misses a cry, never misses a desire, never misses a thought, because He hears. His hearing is that great. One of my sons and I got his permission to share this. He's actually a new father, or his father again this morning. He just had a son on Friday, but Kirk, he bought a van privately from a man who couldn't hear and didn't speak. And this man was married to a woman who couldn't hear either. And he had gone to deaf school and had met this lady there, and they got married. They had children who couldn't hear. So the man communicated with Kirk by pen and paper, and when they went for a test ride, he would point where to turn. You know, he couldn't communicate with sign language because Kirk didn't know that. And I went along to pick up the van, and it was a unique experience, but they were able to get the transaction accomplished, even with, you know, the family being deaf and mute. We don't have that issue with God. He hears our prayers. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. David said concerning God in Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Again, it's David speaking of God in Psalm 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. There's a confidence that God hears. Well, not only does God hear our prayers, but He wants us to pray. We find that in Proverbs 15:8, where it says, the prayer of the upright is His delight. His delight. He wants us praying. We can go to the Lord with confidence, as we said. Psalm 6:9 says, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. He hears. He wants us praying. And one of the aspects of supplication is to come humbly. When you see that word supplication in Scripture, one of the aspects of that is a humble approach, a humbleness. And I believe Psalm 86:1 is a good way to start every prayer, at least in our attitude should be such. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. A good way to approach every prayer. Lord, I'm coming to You, but I'm not demanding because I am poor and needy. I am coming for Your mercy. We can approach the throne boldly, but it should be humbly. It's not about saying all the right words or having all the right approach, as the Pharisee tried to when he said, I'm glad I'm not as this publican. But it's coming humbly in heart, recognizing who I truly am without the Lord and in need of His mercy. Psalm 4:1 says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayers." Out of your mercy, Lord, hear my prayers. Well, his hearing is a result of his mercy. Psalm 69:13, "But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. Hear me in the truth of thy salvation." So God wants us to pray. In fact, he wants us to ask for things, believe it or not. You might think, well, I don't know if I should be asking for these things. God wants us to ask for things. And again, I refer to Jesus' words in John 14:13. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And implied there is that if we don't ask, God will not act. Because he says, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." So implied is that if we don't ask, God will not act. James 4:2 would also support this when it says, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because you ask not." Ye ask not. So that leads to this. Sometimes we may think, well, whatever will happen, will happen. Did you ever say that? Or think that? Or hear someone say that? Or whatever happens will happen. Or if it's meant to be, it'll happen. That's not necessarily true. God wants us asking so he can respond. We pray because we believe God hears. And in truth, he wants us to pray. He wants us to ask for things. He wants to respond. He wants us to bring heaven to earth. He wants us to ask, but it needs to be humbly, desiring his mercy. Max Lucado said this, and I like this thought: "Our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference." Unquote. So true. The power is in the one who hears it. But he wants us to ask. Thirdly, we pray because we believe God has the answers. We pray because we believe he's God. We pray because we believe he hears. And thirdly, we pray because we believe he has the answers. He'll know what to do. Proverbs 16:9, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his paths," or his steps. Romans 11 speaks of God having the answers in verse 33 to 36. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." In other words, he has the answers. He knows what to do. He has the resources. Again, Elijah recognized God had the answers in verse 36. "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again." He recognized God had the answers. God knows what to do in every situation of our lives. Sometimes I struggle with that. but he does. I'm thankful for it. I just have a tough time grasping it at times. And that his way is the best way. But I love that thought, that he knows what to do in every situation. Still, sometimes we may have doubts, but I think these words here have been encouraging to me, and maybe they'll be encouraging to you. It says, are you weary from the battle you're fighting? Does it seem like the storm just won't break? Is there a mountain in front of you that doubt says will never move? And you wonder, will God make a way? Well, tell me a time he's not been faithful. Tell me a morning his mercies weren't new. Tell me a moment he wasn't able to carry you through. Tell me a day he was less than almighty, when he could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're going to find there was never a time. So be strong in the Lord and remember to take hold of faith and stand firm. Oh, you can be confident the Lord keeps his promises. If you doubt it, just read through his word. Tell me a time he's not been faithful. Tell me a morning his mercies weren't new. When you look back, there was never a time. Love that thought. We pray because we believe that God has the answers. We pray because we believe that God is God. We believe he hears. We believe he has the answers. And fourthly, we believe he will answer. We believe he will answer. Again, I refer to Elijah. Elijah believed that God would answer. There was a confidence. Verse 24 again, I keep referring to these same verses, but they keep highlighting the thoughts that I want to bring out. And call you in the name of your gods, and I will call in the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. He had a confidence that God would answer by fire. First John 5, verses 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Obviously, the key there is his will. Or praying in Jesus' name, which means that I'm submitting to God's will. Would refer back again to John 14, 13. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, Jesus speaking, according to God's will, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We believe he'll answer according to his will. Psalm 138:3, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengtheneth, that's God's response to the prayer, and strengtheneth me with strength in my soul. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord. I'm crying out to the Lord. I believe he'll answer, and he heard me and delivered. That's his response. Delivered me from all my fears. God's answer. We believe he'll answer. I want you to think about this. If you miss anything or everything from this sermon, I hope you get this part. Because this was at least stood out to me. When we pray, because we believe that God is God, and we believe that he hears, and we believe that he has the answers, and we believe that he will answer, then we are praying with faith. And that's important. There has to be a prayer with faith. So important. It's not how important or how loud my prayer is, or how long it is. But it is important that I pray with faith. Praying with faith is more important than fabricating all the right sounding words. Sometimes you think, you know, and I think this, you know, I wish I could pray like that person. It's not about fabricating all the right words, but it's about praying with faith from a humble heart. And when we pray, when we believe that God is God, that He hears, that He has the answers, and He'll answer, we're praying in faith. And God can respond to that. Mark 11, verse 22 to 24, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. He's highlighting faith in God here. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now it's my understanding that Jesus was making a point by using an expression at that time, not literally meaning we're to go around trying to move literal mountains. Rather, the emphasis is on faith in God and placing our trust in Him because He has the resources and the power to work through our prayers. James 1 states how important faith is with our prayers in verse 5. Says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. In verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And then later in chapter 5, James says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Praying that we believe He's God, that He has the answers, that He hears, that He will answer a prayer of faith. Well, what happens when it seems like God isn't answering? You know, it's not always like I shared with you the time when I was getting my catheter placed and we were really dragging my feet on that, and Carol prayed in the waiting room for a God moment, and 10, 15 minutes later we had a God moment. God answered. Doesn't always happen that way. What's happening when God isn't answering? Well, sometimes maybe the request is wrong and God simply says no. Perhaps the timing is wrong and God says slow. I've got this from, borrowed this from someone, this little thoughts, but I think they're good. Perhaps we are wrong and God says grow. You know, I need to grow before I'll answer that the way you're. But if the request is right and the timing's right and we're right, God says go. If God delays, it's for good reason. Sometimes we don't understand. We may never understand it in this side of eternity. But I would also say don't give up. Continue to pray. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, as he spake a parable unto them, to this end, the men ought always to pray and not to faint or to grow weak or to be weary. In other words, keep praying. Why do we pray? Why do we bother? Well, because we believe God is God. We believe He hears. We believe He has the answers. He'll know what to do. And we believe He will answer. He will respond. Well, lastly, let's consider some necessary things that we ought to pray about. And I just listed some, and I'm sure you'll think of some others. But some thoughts that came that I'd like to share, some things that we ought to pray about. First of all, acknowledge God for who He is. Acknowledge God for who He is. Offer Him thanks and praise. You know, we want more rain. We're praying for more rain. But yet, I hope we're thanking Him for what we got. And that's talking to me. You know, I'm thinking, Lord, please send more. But yet, I need to be thanking Him for what we got. What a blessing. Thanks and praise. Acknowledge God for who He is. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, that's petitions, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we need to be giving a lot of thanks, acknowledging who God is, a lot of praise. We need to be praying for peace, joy, power, strength. Strength to get through whatever it is. I'll just share that the last time I was anointed, you know, my prayer was, you know, if God wants to heal me, that's up to Him. But if not, then give me the strength. Give me the strength to endure. We need to pray for that. We need to pray for healing of others. I know we do. Maybe for yourself. Depends how you feel about that or where you're at. Pray for the needs of others, the needs of self come into play, obviously, but our family, etc., are important. Pray for their needs. I think we need to pray to represent our Lord well each day. How I live today. How I respond, how I act, how I think, how I look, how I represent the Lord. Our prayers should involve confessing of sin. It's an opportunity to come before the throne. Our prayers should be, we ought to pray for comfort, for hope, pray for shelter from storms of life, pray for safety and protection. Pray for God's saving grace to become more of a reality in my life so that my actions are a reaction to it instead of trying to earn it. Pray for direction, for guidance. Pray for God's mercy. Pray for humility. Now, I don't think we should say, keep me humble. That's a sign that I think I already am, and that's not a good sign. We should be praying, make me humble. Pray to be filled with love for others. Oh, how we need that. Pray for a changed heart, my own changed heart. Pray for help to resist temptation, to conquer addictions. These are all valuable prayer requests. Necessary things to pray about. You know, there was some people who were going through a tragedy. Good to have these Kleenexes up here, Sister Barb. Thank you for that. I needed that this morning. Some people were going through a tragedy. They were asked how they cope with it and how they deal with it. You know what their answer was? They said, that's why we drink. That's why we drink. Isn't that sad? If that's all you got to lean on? Well, that same question was answered from a believer's point of view. And the answer was, that's why we pray. That's why we pray. And the songwriter said this, And I want to close with this, and he put it into words. To be thankful for the blessings of the day. To be grateful for the food and hands that made. To acknowledge only one deserves our praise. That's why we pray. To feel joy that goes beyond our circumstance. To know power that's outside these human hands. To be filled with love for each and every man. That's why we pray. Hallelujah. We need healing. We need hope. We need comfort in our soul. We need a shelter through the storms of life that rage. Keep us safe, Lord. Help us stand in the hollow of your hand. Be our rescue, God. We need your saving grace. That's why we pray. For the wisdom to discern the wrong from right, to gain strength when we're weary from the fight, to find peace here in the chaos of the night. That's why we pray. Hallelujah. To conquer addiction, to guide the physician, just for your protection. Oh Lord, we're crying out to you. Wherever the battle, to quiet the rival, whatever the matter is, Father, you'll know what to do. Whatever the matter is, Father, you'll know what to do. To walk into the presence of the King, to lay down our struggles and all our defeat, to find forgiveness here before the mercy seat. That's why we pray.
Brother Duane has given us a lot to think about and apply in our lives. You know, prayer for me has been a struggle, and it still is. It's hard work. It takes continual struggle. Satan don't want us to pray because he knows that there's power in prayer. You know, we all have had the experience of wanting to call someone and either don't answer the phone or they can't hear you right. We don't ever have God say, well, just wait, I'll call you back. He hears us, as Duane pointed out. Let's all stand in prayer as we approach the throne of the Creator, the one who has all power. Let's approach him in reverence.